Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Brian Lehrer's Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Tuesday, September 7th. I'm Jamie Floyd, senior editor for Race and Justice at WNYC, and I'm filling in for Brian today. And Shana Tova to our Jewish listeners. Today, President Biden is visiting parts of Queens and the town of Manville, New Jersey. He's surveying the devastation caused by Hurricane Ida as remnants of the storm hit our region, killing dozens of people. This will be President Biden's first official stop to New York, and it comes 5 days after the White House declared a state of emergency, ordering federal assistance to supplement local relief efforts. But as our colleagues in the newsroom reported over the weekend, some residents are still complaining that no official has yet been to their block days after the flooding. Here's Woodside resident Litska talking to WNYC on Saturday.
We're just cleaning and cleaning, and it's just, you know, there's like no help from anybody. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how we're going forward. I don't know. The city needs to do something. This is like blocks and blocks of people. These are their homes.
Since that report, the mayor and Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez did make a visit to Woodside. The city says it's working tirelessly to help New Yorkers who've been impacted by the storm. And the city says people should go to nyc.gov/Ida. That's nyc.gov/Ida for more information about assistance. They've opened up emergency centers in each borough for people to get resources. And as President Biden comes to New York, the debate over how to confront climate change via legislation rages on in Washington, with Democrats continuing to push for a $3.5 billion reconciliation bill in addition to a $1 trillion infrastructure deal. Here's Senator Chuck Schumer on Thursday.
Global warming is upon us, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse unless we do something about it. And that's why it's so imperative to pass the two bills, the infrastructure bill and the budget reconciliation bill. The second deals with climate change and will reduce the amount of carbon we've put in the atmosphere by 50% by 2030. The first bill deals with infrastructure, and built into that infrastructure is something I have started fostering with Sandy, that we don't just build infrastructure, but we build resilient infrastructure. So when these floods or fires or anything else occurs, they are much more resistant.
That was Senator Chuck Schumer last week. Of the two pieces of legislation, the budget bill faces the more perilous path as Republicans, plus Democratic Senators Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, are uniformly opposed to the price tag. So in this moment when hundreds of Americans died from climate-related weather disasters just this summer, will local and federal governments step up and provide immediate relief and future protection, or will politics, as usual, get in the way? Here with me now to talk about this and other political news from over the weekend, including new polling showing waning support for the president in the midst of the withdrawal from Afghanistan and anxiety around Delta infections, is Jonathan Lemire, White House reporter for the Associated Press and political analyst for MSNBC and NBC News. Jonathan, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, what's on President Biden's agenda today? Where is he going? Let's start there. What does he want to accomplish?
Well, he just moments ago left the White House for his trip to the Northeast to inspect a pair of storm-damaged states who dealt with, of course, a torrential rain as part of the remnants of Hurricane Ida last week, and that includes right in New York City. He'll make his first stop after touching down at Kennedy Airport. He'll actually take a helicopter to New Jersey first, a town there, to inspect what happened, and then return to the city and will be in Queens, touring a storm-damaged neighborhood, and will expect to give remarks. And, of course, he's going to use this moment to ideally do two things, White House officials tell me. First, to express concern and sympathy to those impacted by the storm. but then secondly, to also make another pitch for the part of his agenda to deal with climate change. As you know, right now, there are two big pieces of legislation heading towards Congress, a bipartisan infrastructure deal, which already passed the Senate, but still needs approval in the House, and this $3.5 trillion reconciliation package, which will have quite a bit of climate change spending in there, but its future remains uncertain, as it won't be easy for Democrats to all be on the same page, moderates and liberals alike. The president did say, though, as he left the White House, that he was confident that it could still happen.
All right, and I do want to dive more deeply into that bill, including the op-ed Senator Manchin wrote in the Wall Street Journal last week about it. But first, let me ask you, John, about the major disaster declarations President Biden approved, aid for people in six New Jersey counties and five New York counties, more immediately than bills on Capitol Hill. What does that mean, that disaster assistance mean for people needing it right now?
Right. And this is par for the course. And sadly, far too common in recent years, these major storms decimating parts of the United States. And then these emergency disaster declarations being signed by the president. It streamlines the process. It directs more federal funding to these areas. It will help in terms of homeowners and insurance. It will allow federal regulators to get in there more quickly. Teams are on the ground, of course, in Louisiana, which was the first state to face the brunt of the storm. And then here in the tri-state area, where the president will be later today. So it cuts through some of the red tape and devotes more federal funding, but it's a small piece of what actually needs to happen, the White House argues, saying that though certainly it is, it will help, what is needed is more widespread structural change, one that can only be stuff that can only be accomplished with major pieces of legislation and the amount of money needed that has to come from Congress.
Say a little more about that, John. How is Biden trying to turn this destruction wrought by Ida and other disasters into an argument for infrastructure spending? He's been pushing that all along. Is that messaging working?
Well, it depends who you ask. White House officials say yes, and they point to public polling that shows that the majority of Americans are in favor of infrastructure spending, that it's one of those things that's popular, broadly popular on both sides of the aisle. And it, of course, was noticed by many that the legislation in the Senate did, in fact, after some torturous negotiations, did, in fact, receive bipartisan support and even the blessing of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, not one to usually back the Biden agenda. So there is some belief there. This is something that Americans understand and want. The question is how much spending will occur and the difference between sort of the traditional infrastructure, the piece that's already passed the Senate, which is roads, highways, broadband, things like that. The much larger reconciliation package has softer pieces, child care, family matters, things of that nature, but also the thrust of the climate change agenda, which the president has certainly said is not the Green New Deal, which we've all heard so much about, pushed forward by sort of more of those on the left in the House of Representatives, but does draw some from that. And the president has outlined pretty ambitious carbon emission targets and the need to sort of shore up, the resiliency of coastal areas from storms. It's just one example. So it's something they believe can be done, but it will be hard for some Democratic senators, a Joe Manchin, let's say, to make that pitch to his voters, perhaps in West Virginia, such a coal mining state, as just one example. So there's even though they're all Democrats here and they all should be on the same team, that's not quite a sure thing that this will get passed.
All right. Well, you mentioned the folks on the left. Let's start there. Support Senator Bernie Sanders and other Democrats touring the country in recent weeks, going to Republican-leaning districts and explaining, trying to anyway, what's in this big fat budget package: universal pre-K, paid family leave, free college tuition, climate regulations, which we started with today, John. Here he is talking to the cost issue at a town hall in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. This is on August 29th.
My Republican colleagues are saying, well, we can't support this bill because it's going to raise taxes. Well, they're right. At a time when billionaires in this country don't pay a nickel in federal income tax in a given year, we are going to raise taxes on the billionaire class.
Now, why do you think Senator Sanders is trying to make this case through outreach to Republican voters? Do you think that's going to work? Republicans voting this way, or even Republican lawmakers switching sides on this one?
Well, anytime a politician holds an event in Iowa, eyebrows are raised. Senator Sanders, of course, has already run for president twice. There's not an expectation he is considering a third run here. But what he is saying, at least what he's saying publicly, is that he wants to take this message to the voters, that Iowa's not going to be the only stop on his trip, that he believes that Democrats need to talk to voters who perhaps 10, 15, 20 years ago might have voted Democratic, but have now shifted to the Republicans. He feels like those voters can come back, that they can be won again if the Democrats really make their arguments about what needs to be, about what how Democrats can take care of them and to be attuned to their needs and explain really what legislation is going to hold. Whether it works or not is anybody's guess. But as noted, infrastructure and things, is popular even among Republicans. It's something that even a lot of Republican lawmakers like to talk about in their districts. That this is something that's easy they can point to and say, hey, look, I got this for you, which is sort of, in many ways, the very prototypical duty of an elected lawmaker in Washington. And, what we see from here from Senator Sanders is an effort to try to make that case directly to the people. And it is amusing to some in the White House that I talked to that we've heard similar arguments from some Republicans talking about what's in these bills, even from Republicans who didn't vote for them. The Biden administration has been quick to call them out as hypocritical.
I can't let you go, Jonathan, without asking at least one question about the Texas abortion law that was so much in the news last week. And President Biden promising a whole of government response is what the administration said to this bill. What can the administration, I'm asking this as a lawyer, but maybe you've got an answer as a White House reporter, what can this administration actually do to prevent a state law in Texas from being carried out? I know he's asked the Justice Department to look into it, but the court has spoken. What else is there to be done from a federal perspective?
Well, certainly we've heard strong words from the White House already. As you note, we have from the Department of Justice vows that they will protect women who seek an abortion in Texas, that they will provide support for federal law enforcement when an abortion clinic or a reproductive health center is under attack, when women are being discriminated against. So there'll be those sort of efforts from the DOJ. But in reality, their hands are somewhat tied. Now, some have pointed to Justice Roberts and what he wrote about this, and this decision about potentially leaving the door open for further litigation, that this was not the be all and end all. I'll defer to you about the law of this, that there could be other attempts to litigate this matter down the road. This might not be the final say, but yes, you're right. This is something that is going to be sort of unexpectedly consume a lot of the political oxygen in Washington right now. As Texas has passed this law, other states are eyeing similar ones, and it's going to be one that, again, sharpens the focus on the judiciary and particularly the Supreme Court and talk about Justice Breyer and his potential retirement. And a lot of liberals are hoping he'll do that sooner than later so Biden can appoint a successor while Democrats have control of the Senate. So this is going to be, along with voting rights, I might add, I think one of the more animating issues of this fall.
Yeah. And you rightly note Justice Roberts joining the three liberal judges in dissent. And I think you are so spot on to mention voting rights in the same breath with abortion, because those two areas of law have a real history that is linked in our jurisprudence that a lot of people don't recognize. And now both fundamental rights under attack. Jonathan Lemire, I think we should leave it right there. It is such a pleasure to have you on. Jonathan Lemire, White House reporter for the Associated Press, political analyst for MSNBC, NBC News. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was great to talk to you. Let's do it again soon.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.